Text 36. Andharavatyam vratripatyam Maitunaya Brihaspati Pravrito Varito Garbham Snapdva Viryam Upashrijat. Antak Vatnyam Pregnant Bratri Patnyam With the brother's wife. Maitunaya, desiring sexual enjoyment. Brihaspati, the demigod named Brihaspati. Pravrita, so inclined. Varita, when forbidden to do so. Garbham, the sun within the abdomen. Shaptva, by cursing. Viryam, semen. Upashvijat, discharged. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the demigod named Brihaspati was attracted by his brother's wife, Mamata, who at that time was pregnant, he desired to have sexual relations with her. The sun within her womb forbid this, but Brihaspati cursed him and forcefully discharged semen into the womb of Mamata. Purport. The sex impulse is so strong in this material world that even Brihaspati, who is supposed to be the priest of the demigods and a very learned scholar, wanted to have a sexual relationship with his brother's pregnant wife. This can happen even in the society of the Hari demigods. So what to speak of human society? The sex impulse is so strong that it can agitate even a learned personality like Brihaspati. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya dharatya mameva ye prabhajante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes is difficult to overcome, but those who take shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. Or as we can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Lord Vyasadeva Bhakti Yogena Manasa. Vyasadeva was despondent because although he had studied all the, he had compiled the Vedic literature and had explained about the process of even liberation, still because he was not Krishna conscious, he was not happy. And anyone who's not happy is going to look for happiness. And anyone who looks for happiness in the material world will wind up in the same place that everyone else winds up, in the modes of ignorance and passion. Therefore, Bhakti Yogena Manasa, or actually Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Samyak Pranihite Mule. When he was able to fix his mind upon the personality of Godhead without any material contamination, then he was able to see Krishna. Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihite Male Apaishat Purusham Purnam. He was able to see the full Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maya Chat Tad Apashayam. And on the backside of Krishna was Maya. That actually Maya is only a servant of Krishna, but if one is not conscious of Krishna, then Maya will naturally be there and offer different types of material enjoyment. And in the absence of Krishna consciousness, which every conditioned soul has some absence of Krishna consciousness, material nature, because she knows exactly what we're attracted to, will present herself in a way that will attract us. It's just the way material nature works. And since we've been here since time immemorial, unless we came from Vaikuntha, then the result is that we've been attracted by the material nature since time immemorial. That we only, if we learn the methodology of taking shelter of Krishna, can we actually cross beyond material nature. But that's only possible if one gets a higher taste, higher than the material energy. There are three different stages of devotional service, as outlined by Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī in his book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There are six characteristics of pure devotional service. Do you know what they are, Nitya Seva? What's that? What's the first two in sadhana bhakti? I'll give you the Sanskrit, you can give the English. Subhada and Kleshagni. Okay, who's taking the Bhakti Shastri test? Any Bhakti Shastris here? Did you pass?
Yeah.
What's that? Klesha Agni. Klesha means misery. Free from sinful activity. Purification of sinful activity. Subhada. Good quality, yes, that's right. Yeah, Subhada. So, there are different characteristics of Subhada. One of them is that it's auspicious for everyone. Just like in the Namasharanya forest, in the forest of Namasharanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to attract even the tigers and to dance, and the elephants were dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. And even the tigers and the deer were dancing and embracing each other and kissing each other. That's called harmony. Because we can't imitate Lord Chaitanya. If we go to the forest and try to get the tigers to dance, we may find ourselves in difficulty. On the other hand, Klesha Agni, Subhada. But as one progresses through sadhana bhakti, one can come to the platform of bhava bhakti. And in bhava bhakti, there are also two characteristics. What are those two characteristics? One is moksha lagu krit, and the other is sudurlabha. We have to have a bhakti shastri course here. What's that? What about liberation? Even the concept of liberation. And sudurlabha, it is difficult to achieve. So at the stage of sadhana bhakti, the happiness one finds when one becomes liberated. Because sadhana bhakti brings one to the stage of liberation and even to the stage of experiencing ruchi, transcendental taste, and asakti, transcendental attachment. So that the taste, especially at the stage of ruchi and asakti, is so great that it's beyond any material concept. At that stage, one generally doesn't become attracted to the material nature so easily because the happiness is so great. Everything becomes pleasureful. So why would one give up something that's pleasureful for something which is tuchava, relatively insignificant, only a very small fraction of the happiness one gets at the stage of ruchi and asakti. But at the stage of bhava bhakti, then we have the platform of moksha lagu krit, that the happiness is so great that even liberation seems insignificant, is not even taken very seriously. That bhava bhakti means, bhava means transcendental ecstasy, that one is surcharged with transcendental pleasure. One is not only experiencing it, but one is immersed in it. But so durlabha, it's difficult to obtain. But at the stage of prema bhakti, what are the two qualities of prema bhakti? Yes, which means? Yeah, it's the only means to attract Krishna. And the other one?
That one doesn't experience anything material
anymore. No, well, yes, that's. But the happiness is so great. Krishna, Karshana, Sundarananda, Avishai, Atma. The happiness is so great that there's no more material existence. There's only pure spiritual happiness, eternally. So at that stage, there's no more even conception of material existence anymore. But here we have the Brihaspati. They're generally, they're on the, in the mode of goodness. So the mode of goodness is generally no more hankering, no more lamentation. The pure goodness, which is liberation, which is the anartha nivritti, the stage of nishta, still on the stage of sadhana bhakti. But if we forget to chant our rounds or we get deviated, then there's every possibility of finding ourselves into material consciousness. So even the demigods, where relatively speaking they're very much attached to following the rules and regulations, even if somehow or another they become distracted, and distraction in the material world is not very difficult. Of course, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam, a history over many thousands and millions of years. And they're simply pointing out some extraordinary circumstances. The day-to-day life of the demigods is not really explained in the Bhagavatam because it's not relative. It's not relevant to what the Bhagavatam aims at. The Bhagavatam aims at Dharma prayojita kaitavo tra paramo nimatsaranam satam. It aims at getting out of material consciousness to establish real dharma for the nimatsaranam, for those who are non-envious, those who want to see everyone and everything equally in relation to Krishna. So the Bhagavatam's there, and therefore there are examples pointed out how dangerous the material nature is for an aspiring transcendentalist. That even a great demigod such as Brihaspati, and Brihaspati is represented in astrology by which planet? Sound pretty doubtful. Well, you might as well say it with conviction. Say it again with conviction. Jupiter, that's it. You're right. So Jupiter is supposed to be the most benevolent. It is the most benevolent, or commonly is potentially the most benevolent, the most wise of all the different planets. And Brihaspati is the personification. Jupiter is of Jupiter, which is represented by which incarnation? That's a little bit more tricky. Vamana Dev. He's Jupiter. So, even Brihaspati was attracted because, of course, the ladies in the heavenly planet, they're supposed to be thousands of times more beautiful than the ladies on this planet. So it's not that he just met some girl walking down in downtown Ljubljana and became attracted by her. No, he became attracted by a demigoddess. And therefore he had some difficulty. But it's not that every day Brihaspati is in the heavenly planets intoxicated and chasing after the ladies there. This is an extraordinary event that happened in the heavenly planets to demonstrate to us the dangers of material existence. Because after all, in order to enter into the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we're supposed to be liberated. We're supposed to have already developed our spiritual senses, and therefore we can actually relish the 10th canto, because the 10th canto in itself does not give that much philosophy. There is some philosophy in the 10th canto, especially before the rasa dance, when Pariksit Maharaj is speaking to Shukadeva Goswami, but there's not so much philosophy that can actually explain to us how to properly understand what's going on in the rasa dance. That we're supposed to have achieved by reading the first 9 cantos and applying them practically within our lives, so that one becomes purified enough, so that when one hears the 10th canto, one can experience it with his transcendental senses. Of course, we have transcendental senses, otherwise how are we experiencing anything? The body doesn't experience anything. It's we ourselves who are experiencing everything, the soul within the body. But we're experiencing things through the material senses, and material senses mean that they're more or less covered, and therefore our experience is only partial. It's not complete. We're only experiencing very little bit of reality. But the first 9 cantos is supposed to purify us so that we can actually uncover our spiritual senses and experience the transcendental sound vibration by hearing the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In any case, the 9th canto, for a person who is not understanding that the 9th canto is not supposed to just give us stories. Most of us are used to just hearing stories. We like to be entertained. As a matter of fact, if we come to class and we're not entertained, we become frustrated. What is all this philosophy? What are they talking about? I need something more exciting. This is quite boring. Next they're going to tell me I'm not my body. Or something I've heard a million times. He might even say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My God, how boring. How repetitious. Let me go on the internet and find something more exciting to hear about. But the fact is that if we had spiritual senses, if our spiritual senses were purified, Krishna consciousness would always be ever fresh. Nitya, nitya, navanava, yavana. It would always be fresh and more exciting. Otherwise, why aren't people falling out of the spiritual world into Ljubljana, trying to find something more exciting than the spiritual world? No, in the spiritual world, everything is fresh and unlimitedly exciting and pleasurable, loving and pleasurable. But that was what we're aspiring to achieve, to experience. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to give us that experience as easily as possible, but we have to develop some faith that that's the experience that we should want to get. So in one sense, if one reads the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, one will think, oh, all these stories, and they're not really happily ever after stories. They're a little exciting. There seems to be some romance. There seems to be some intrigue and whatever. But they're always getting frustrated. This is not the type of story I like to read. We never read in these romance stories, and they got married, and then they had children, and they grew old, and they became frustrated, and they got divorced, and they followed what everyone else did. And then they got diseased, and they died. They always live happily ever after. Otherwise, no one would watch the movie. There's enough problems going on, you don't have to watch a movie. We mean something encouraging. Just like we come to class, we want to hear something encouraging, how nice the material nature is, that you can be happy here. You just have to get it right, that's all. You just have to learn from those who are already happy, how they did it. The Grihastha vision team. How to be happy in Grihastha life forever. Unfortunately, the Bhagavatam doesn't explain that very well. As a matter of fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it tells us there is happiness in material life, but it's tuchavat, it's relatively insignificant. So one may have to accept that happiness because that's the level of consciousness we're on, but one should not think that that's the end of the story. That if I get married and have children, then everything will be all right. Then I'll have a nice house, my husband will go out working all day long, and I'll get 100 saris instead of 5. And then my life will be complete. One should understand that this is only a little, it's part of the story, but it's not the whole story. And at the end, we have even Brihaspati, great personality. It's not that at the end of this class we should think, oh, Brihaspati, I spit at the thought whenever I hear his name. What a rascal. No, he's a great personality. And this is only one of the stories about Brihaspati. There are others a little bit more complimentary. But as Bharat Maharaj, in this chapter, we'll hear about him, he had some problem with the deer calf. Now most of us will think, oh, Bharat Maharaj, he had a problem with the deer calf. Scandal. Be all over ISKCON News. Rascal Bharat, he thought he was a big devotee. He fell in love with a deer. I mean, I'm not even so degraded as that. I have my problems, but it's not that great. Then we feel good, yeah. I thought I was bad, but look at him. He attained almost bhava. He was on the highest platform, almost coming to the platform of ecstasy, and he falls in love with a deer. Ooh, deer. So it's possible, if a great personality, what to speak of ourselves, we look around in Kali Yuga, we don't even know how bad it is. That's probably good. But people actually are interested in finding out how degraded everyone else's is, so that they don't feel themselves to be, they feel themselves to be good when they see everyone else how bad they are. They don't realize that everyone in this material world is bad. First-class criminal, second-class criminal, third-class criminals. But they're all criminals. They're all thieves. They're all an illusion. So if we think, well, I'm a good person because I'm not an illusion, then we're really an illusion. If we think that we're not an illusion, that's the biggest illusion. So we should understand that just like everyone we can see is an illusion, I'm also an illusion. Otherwise, why am I thinking myself to be this body? Why don't I know who I am? Now I can reject the fact that I don't know who I am because it's embarrassing. If someone walks up to you and says, who are you, and you can't remember your name, it's quite embarrassing. I think it's a Dasi or something. It's A, B, C, D. But we don't know who we are, so therefore we should be a little humble and we should see others in that same light. Similarly, if Brihaspati has some problem, we shouldn't demean him, but we should understand he's giving us an example of how difficult it is to pass beyond the material nature without taking serious shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The only reason why we're here, we're going out and distributing books or preaching, whatever, is because of the mercy of the Holy Name has been given to us. Otherwise, we'd be out in the street also, having the big event of our lives, going downtown Ljubljana and looking at the lights. The most exciting thing in the year is to see some, is it Christmas street lights? Just, oh, there's some tree. What's that? Two Christmas trees. How exciting. And there's some lights. And that's the high point. All the family goes down there. Look at the trees. Ah, So beautiful.
Did they mean to have some show, video show or something, music concert, right? Also.
Oh. Anyhow, that's what they're left with. Without Krishna, that's what we're left with. We have to get something in the material world for happiness. It's not that they're bad and we're good, that we're fortunate because by some inconceivable mercy we've come in contact with Krishna. And therefore we're able to be at least one inch above the material energy when we're acting in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we'd fall back into the material nature, just like everyone else has. And not everyone is even in goodness. There's hardly any goodness. It's all passion and ignorance in Kali Yuga. So very unfortunate. But we have something that makes people fortunate. But we should be a little humble and not judge people so severely because they're under the spell of nature. Because we're also under the spell of nature. Is one degree or another. But only by the mercy of our acharyas and disciples of succession can we be a little bit above the material nature and acting as their instrument, help ourselves and help others go beyond the material energy. But not to become proud and thinking we're elevated, because if we do, then we'll become like Brihaspati and get attracted by something which is actually insignificant, but will appear to be very, very significant by the workings of the material energy. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Microphone.
Hare Krishna. Guru Maharaj, you answered to a question a few days before. Somebody was asking about Grihastha life and something like this, and you respond that they should help each other spiritual life or something like this. And I was wondering, what does it actually means to help each other grow spiritually, to make themselves to each other bad days, to humble each other, or how does it? What
I chant Hare Krishna, you listen. You chant Hare Krishna, and I listen. That way we help each other in spiritual life. I read the Bhagavatam with you, and I ask you a question, and you answer it, and you ask me a question, and I answer it. So that's helping each other. I do the arti, and you sing. You do the arti, and I sing.
Spirit soul without material coverings obviously has a mind, intelligent, and real ego. So I'm always in doubt what would be difference between mind and intelligent, like spirit soul meditate with mind on Krishna and with intelligent try to think how to serve Krishna. Is that clear?
Yeah, that's it. Eternally, Satchitananda, Sat-Chit, consciousness. So consciousness means we think about Krishna and we know what's pleasing to Krishna. We do what's pleasing to him.
So with real mind, we try to meditate.
With what?
With real mind. With real mind, we think about Krishna and
with that's the only way we can think. That's the only way we can think about anything is with our spiritual mind. But now we're thinking about things which are not spiritual. We're thinking about things in the absence, without Krishna, and therefore it's mundane.
Because sometimes devotees think when we become liberated, we don't have mind at all.
Yeah, people think like that. That's called Maya. It's called illusion. This body is changing all the time, but still we're always conscious. We always have intelligence. We always have feelings. Even though the body's changing. So they're coming from the spiritual soul, they're not coming from the material entity. The mind, intelligence, and false ego are just coverings over the real spiritual mind, intelligence, and ego. So,
Guruji, I have this
question. Like Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, at the end of our life, whatever we think, the consciousness that we have, we are given. The consciousness that we have at the end of our life, such a body is given to us, whatever we think. So, for example, Bharat Maharaj, he thought of the deer, and he got a body of a deer in his next life. But like sometimes our devotees also keep dogs and cats, and you know, they, of course, it's natural they would get attached to that dog or cat. And
if it's a nice dog or cat.
Yeah, and if they, you know, at the same time they're practicing spiritual life, but then, and if they think of the dog or a cat at the end of,
well, they'll come back as a dog or a cat, but they'll have a nice devotee master. Give nice dog prasad.
So those dogs, let's say those dogs who are devotees' pets, so it's possible they were devotees in their previous life and they came back as a dog.
Aspiring devotees, but they didn't quite make it.
Thank you.
Okay. Grandharaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.